Krishna speaks about an ideal person. What a Jivan Mukta is, how a Jivan Mukta would behave. So those are important things in, at least for a sadhaka, it's very important to analyze people who have implemented so that they can, we can also implement. We know, already know implementation is as important as knowledge. So the normal example, the many examples that Mahatmas give about implementation. So one is Ramakrishna Paramahansa's example of knowing milk and drinking milk. Namma says about honey, writing in a piece of honey that won't help, like we have to taste honey. Amma gives another example of tablet. We go to a doctor and the doctor, we have some disease, the doctor gives some prescription, he writes down. So the person just eats it. That will not cure because he needs to get the medicine. Not the paper where the medicine name is written, but the medicine in general or the medicine in itself has to be got, and then intake of the medicine should happen. Similarly, is implementation or trying to, implementation is nothing but trying to stand by the truth, stand by as to what we believe, stand by as to what is really to be done. So that is what we have to learn from these Mahatmas as to how they are able to survive in the world or amidst the world, remembering the truth. So Brahma, Satyam, Jagan, Mithya, those are the two aspects of the spiritual path. One is the truth in itself, Brahma, Satyam. And the second is about Jagat, Mithya. So that means truth or standing by the truth is equivalent of Jagan, Mithya. That means overcoming the bondages or obstacles of the world. So both are important. Standing by the truth is equivalent of removing the obstacle. One cannot do, we cannot do without one or the other. We cannot make a choice as to, I'll remember Brahman but still I'll not overcome the obstacles that I have in the world. Both are essential, both are required. And that is where Shravanam helps in Brahma Satyam. It helps in knowing as to what is Brahman. But that alone is not enough, because we have to reflect on it as on our part. We may hear Amma say many things about Brahman, but then implementation doesn't happen because we are not convinced of the truth. Conviction of the truth requires mananam or reflection. So mananam is helped by Jagan Mithya. When we hear things, we hear, oh, Brahma Satyam, Brahman is the truth. But what is the point of just hearing without being able to live by the truth? So living or implementation of the truth is Jagan Mithya through mananam, through more and more reflection. So reflection we have to do again and again. We have to reflect as to what is the world, why is the world unreal, what is the nature of the world, what is the nature of relationship, what is the nature of things in the world, whether are they real or are they not real. So all those we have to analyze, more and more reflection on that. There is no point of listening or Shravanam doing again and again. Shravanam is as simple as Brahma Satyam. But Jagan Mithya is very tough because it is against our experience. So we have to try to implement more and more. Or try to reflect again and again as to why the world, or what is the nature of the world, as Amma says. The nature of the world, it's not about renouncing the world that matters. It is knowing the nature of the world. Knowing the nature of the world is as good as renouncing. If we know that the world is unreal, we'll not go behind it. A person who knows that there is no water in the desert will not run behind the water. That means that knowledge and the conviction that there is no water, though he may still see water, still the conviction that there is no water will make him overcome the experience or the sense experience or sensual experience of seeing water. He'll be able to overcome. So that reflection has to happen again and again. And even after that reflection, if that reflection is not perfect, then Jivo Brahmaiva Naparaha, I am Brahman, that will not happen. If that doesn't happen, then Sukham will be lacking or Anandam will be lacking, irrespective of where we are, what we are. So there are people like Amma and Balakrishna Nair who have conquered, who have gone beyond Shravanam Mananam to that Nididhyasanam state, so that whatever obstacles come, they are able to get over it, they are able to work over it. Because it's not just Shravanam, Mananam is very important. Jagan Mithya is very important as Brahma Satyam. So reflection, Mananam has to be has to happen, that mananam again and again, and of reflecting on the truth as to what is real, being in the current moment. It doesn't matter what the future is, it doesn't matter where we are in the future, the current moment, can I remove all obstacles, can I go beyond my obstacles, can I go beyond my attachment, can I go beyond all that is called the world. If we can, that very moment we become one with Brahman, which means Ananda will come. So that is what experience of these Mahatmas, or analysis, that is the experience of these Mahatmas, and analysis of these Mahatmas will make it more clear for us as to how to achieve that as well. So mananam is very important. I've told this many times, that mananam is as important, more important than shravanam. Shravanam will give us jnanam, but mananam will take us more towards vijnanam, towards experience or implementation. Unless mananam is strong, implementation will not happen. We'll just say, oh, I cannot do this. Oh, I am not able to do this for so and so reason. Whatever be the reason, it doesn't matter. Attachment to one person or the other, it doesn't matter what it is. It's not something like as to what is in the our worldly perspective or worldly things or in worldly matters, it does really matter quite a lot, not about what is the effect of an action, but the way or the cause of the action. Or let's say something fails, some test happens, some missile is sent or some satellite is sent into space by scientists. So satellite fails, it doesn't go. So the effect is that it didn't go. But more than the effect there, what really matters as to why, the cause as to why it didn't go, that is what matters more than even the goal of going. Why? Because the analysis of as to why it didn't succeed will help in succeeding. But with Vedanta, it does matter, but it doesn't matter much. It doesn't matter as to what is the cause. It doesn't matter as to what is the cause that obstructs us from becoming a Jivan Mukta, but what really matters is whether we are Mukta, whether we are liberated from all bondages. That is what really matters. It doesn't matter whether it is due to some worldly thing, it is due to some relationship, it's due to some position, it's due to some other obstacle, it doesn't matter. Monetary thing, finance, it doesn't matter. Marital thing, it doesn't matter what it is. What finally matters at the end of the day is whether it has affected me, whether it has taken me to being a Mukta, or whether it has made me again a Baddha Purusha. That is what really matters than anything else. So which also means that we have to analyze on why we are not able to become a Mukta, but analysis shouldn't go too deep into as to why I couldn't, what are the weaknesses in me. It's not about what are the weaknesses, it's about just overcoming it in any way, whichever way is possible. Vedanta gives not just one way, there are n number of ways to overcome things. As the one way of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's way of overcoming desires or attachment is to make it or convert it into something higher, converting it into Ishvara, rather than getting attracted or attached to people. Get attached to Ishvara. So that is one way. Another way is saying that, okay, Jagat is mithya, this world is an illusion, so why should I bother about attachment, relationship, people around me? That will come and go. That has been coming and going, it will come and go, so why should I bother? So I don't need to bother, I won't bother. What really matters for me is I have to just get it out. That's another way of doing it. Or the third way, or another, the toughest way we can say is, just having the knowledge, saying, okay, I'm a sakshi, I'm not affected. I'll still be in wherever I am, whatever I am doing, it doesn't matter. I'll be a sakshi. That is the toughest way. So there are these three, are one, some of the ways. There are still other ways to overcome it, other ways to get away from these things. But what matters, it does matter in a way as to what are my weaknesses, but what really matters is not whether I have analyzed. We have analyzed about our weaknesses. We know, many of us know, what is our weakness. Oh, my attachment to my parents, that is my weakness. What is the point of knowing that? It again comes down to implementing. So it doesn't matter whether we know the weakness. Many of us know the weakness, but still we are not able to overcome it. That's how life goes, or the world is such that it will happen like that only. But it doesn't matter as to what are my weaknesses. It matters as to whether I have conquered them, whether I have gone beyond all obstacles, whether I have gone beyond all that stands between me and the goal of moksha, and whether I have attained moksha. That is what really matters. At the end of the day, or at the end of the life, this human birth, it does matter only whether we have realized or not. At least we have progressed towards realization. We have had jnanam. We are trying to implement jnanam. That is what really matters than anything else. So that is what is really important for a sadhaka, as to whether I have become a jivan mukta, whether I have overcome my weaknesses by one way or the other. For that, mananam is very important, which means jigan mithya. Again and again, anityam asukham lokam. There are many shlokas of Gita which we can go sometime later. I'll just give you the shloka names or the numbers in Gita. You have to go through that shloka again and again and again and again. It's as simple as saying Jagat is mithya, but it's not as simple when it comes to implementation. So we have to again and again reflect. Whenever we get time, whether we are traveling, whether we are eating, whether we are sleeping, whether we are drinking, whether we are talking to another person, whether we are watching TV, whether we are singing, it doesn't matter. We have to do again and again mananam. Unless we do that mananam continuously, there'll be no hope. There'll be no hope, because that mananam will be completely lacking. Shravanam will veil mananam as if mananam is there or not, we won't know. Slowly, day by day, problems will get more and more. And we will have more and more shravanam, or the shravanam will try to, or shravanam will give the ego the strength. It will boost the ego to think that, okay, I have this. And it will be a illusion saying that, okay, I have this. I think I can. I don't have any weakness. I can overcome. Though it's not over, we cannot overcome in the way that we are trying, but still we will say, oh, I can overcome. So that is how it will happen. And oh, that is also fine. I can still go to Paramartha, listen to his CDs. That is kind of moksha. I get bliss when I listen to Paramartha's CD. I get bliss when I listen to Amma's bhajans. So that is enough for me. That's more than enough for me. I can go to vedantasattva.org, download the MP3s, download the songs, listen to it. That is enough for me. That gives me anandam. That's not going to work. At the end of our life, when life ends, as Amma says and Balakrishna says, at the end of life, that is what really matters. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajati ante kalevaram tam tamaiva iti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavitah. Whatever we think at the end of our life, that we become. Therefore, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyacha. Therefore, think about me always and do whatever you have to do. Do whatever actions, but think always think about me. Think about me as anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajasuma. Think of me as the substratum of the illusory world. Think of me as Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. That is important. At the end of our life, it's either we are realized or not. If we are not realized, there will be some or the other desire left. Whether it is desire to spend time with Amma, whether it is desire to learn Vedanta, whether it is desire to learn singing, whether it is desire to compose, whether it's desire for something else, it doesn't matter. As long as desires are there, there will still be birth, and we never know which birth we are going to go or where we are going to go. In order to have good thoughts at the end of our life, sattvic thoughts, and in the end of our life, we have to do good karmas. Good karmas or sattvic karma are those which are more towards jnanam and implementation. If we don't do mananam, then shravanam will not last long. Shravanam will not last long, which means that we will not be doing jnanam, that means karma. So again, we will be born in a karma world amidst people who are karmadas. As Balakrishna, karmadan, or karmada means like who are thinking that karma is the only way, karma is the sole way. So we will be born in such family, and it will continue. So if that shouldn't happen, at the end of our life, we should be able to say, okay, I am at least closer to moksha. I am closer to moksha or I am mukta. If that has to happen, I am closer to moksha again will be a problem because there are a lot of other factors that influence our next birth as well. We can be born in a family where jnanam is there but still not have jnanam. That can also happen. It can very well happen like people who are around Amma who have little bit knowledge but they don't have much knowledge. Can be that way. So that will or that can also happen. That means we cannot forsake this birth after having or like when we have 30-40 years still to go, we cannot let it go. We cannot. There are only two alternatives or two options there. In these 40 years, either we progress towards mananam or we forget shravanam. If we progress towards mananam, we'll become realized. If we get away from that, get away from shravanam, then that means we'll be born in a karma family or still lower, tamasic family. Tamasic family means animals or other kingdom. So at the end of this life, we should be able to say, oh, I have realized. If that has to happen, then that means more and more mananam has to go. Mananam has to be done again and again. Again and again, like we do quite a lot of things again and again. When it is something to do with our parents or something to do with people we are attached to, we do it again and again. After repeated saying, we still have the same bondages, we still have the same attachment. After repeatedly saying, frankly as to or bluntly as to what is the problem. And after reading Amma's books, after reading Gita, still we have the same attachment. So that means we know to stick on to something. We can stick on to something. We can do something again and again, but not the right thing. It's the wrong thing. So the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing again and again will only take us away from the goal. It will take us away from moksha. It will take us away from anandam. So in order for us not to do that, we have to do more and more mananam. Mananam has to go quite a lot. Any free time that we get, we have to do mananam. We have to strengthen our conviction as to why is the world unreal? What is the nature of the world? Why is the world unreal? Is it temporary? Should I get attached to the world? So the more and more this analysis about the world goes on, it will lead us more towards the goal. It is fine to concentrate on Brahman. Everything is Brahman. Everything is Brahman. That seems easier than Jagan Mithya. But everything is Brahman. How is everything Brahman? Because the Jagat or whatever we see as duality is only Nama Rupa, which means it is Mithya. So that again has it. It's easy to say everything is Brahman, but to really implement it, really see it that way, with respect to action, with respect to our mind, we have to have Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. The Jagan Mithya aspect is very important. Our effort to it is very important. It's more important, as Balakrishnanar says, do the bhavana, add on Brahman, the thought of Brahman, that everything is one Brahman. Add on that thought again and again. Whenever we get time, while cooking, while having bath, while brushing our teeth, whatever we are doing, we have to have that thought again and again. That means in a way we are doing mananam. Mananam as well as nididhyasanam. But nididhyasanam of Brahma Satyam will not help until mananam has become clear. The problem is, nididhyasanam, it might seem that we are implementing, but when things go wrong, then we will know whether we are implementing or not. There will be no implementation at all. It will be just in the veil or in the illusion, under the illusion that we are implementing, but we will not be implementing. So that has to happen. So mananam has to go on again and again. And for mananam to go, to analyze, to have mananam, it is a simple way of just analyzing a Jeevan Mukta or trying to analyze as to what are the qualities of a Jeevan Mukta, qualities of a realized master. What is the advantage of seeing or analyzing the qualities? The advantage of analyzing the qualities is when we know the qualities that are present in a spiritual master, then we know that if we try to implement, get those qualities, then that means we are slowly progressing towards the goal. So one way of saying it is whether our conviction of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya has happened. That is one way, the direct way of trying to find out. But the direct way never works. We already know it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So that means we can split it into different other components. Rather than having one Jagan Mithya, split it into different components at the vyavaharika level, vyavaharam, with respect to empirical world. So world is illusion is quite simple, but it's not that easy to implement in the mind. At the mind level, it's not easy. For a person who is able to do that kind of mananam, nothing else is required, because the mind directly focuses on jagan mithya. But that's not possible, like fixing the mind. Krishna said in the previous shlokas about fixing the mind, but he said then abhyasam, he said something else again, because he knows that it is not possible. So that means split jagan mithya into various qualities, analyze our progress with respect to those qualities. So the another use, okay, we can say that there are two uses of Krishna explaining about a Jivan Mukta or Jivan Mukta Vivaranam. There are two uses. One is to find out a Jivan Mukta, find out a spiritual master, so that we don't fall under false masters. Masters who are in the pretext, or like who are under the pretext of a sannyasi or a Vedantin, but still going against the Shastra, giving wrong advice of forsaking Vedanta for the sake of parents, for the sake of dharma, or what they call as dharma, for the sake of duty. So those are false sannyasins. It's already being recorded, but it is a fact. It's the fact which we have to acknowledge, or we have to understand, that such people are people who are going against the Shastras. Shastras clearly say, clearly speak about people who have stood for Vedanta against family. So if we really doubt it, then we just, or wherever it says that we have to take care of our parents, oh, Mata Pita Guru Devam, all those are not in the Upanishads. They are not in Vedanta. They are not in Prasthanatrayam. We cannot find places in Prasthanatrayam where they are. Even if we find it, it will be in either Brihadaranyaka Upanishad or Chandogya Upanishad, which are major chunks, which have a lot of Upasana. We cannot find it in the other Upanishads. We cannot find in Gita. In Gita, Krishna says a person not to renounce karma, but he never says. We cannot find a place where Krishna says Mata, Pita and all. We cannot find it. So all those are not in Prasthanatrayam. Whereas in Prasthanatrayam, we have examples of people who have renounced. If we think Mata, Pita, Dharmam, it's Dharmam, we should take care of Mata, Pita, then did Yajnavalkya take care of his wife or wives? It is Dharma. If it is a Dharma, if it is our duty to take care of our parents, if it is our duty to commit to something and we have to stick to it, then did Yajnavalkya commit to what or do, stick on to what he committed? His commitment was marriage commitment. We all know that the commitment of marriage is to take care of the partner till the end. Whatever happens, take care of the partner. That is the commitment in marriage. Did he really take care of the commitment? He didn't, because he renounced. He left both the wives and renounced. So that means he didn't take care of the commitment. So if he didn't take care of the commitment, then why do we have to? Or does Vedanta say that we have to? It doesn't. If that's not enough, then we can look at Katha Upanishad Nachiketa. Nachiketa's father told him to go to hell. Oh, his father told him to go to hell, therefore he went. It's not just that. His father then again said, okay, don't do it. The same, like our parents give permission to join Vedanta course and then they say, oh, I can't give permission, or try to backstab. It is backstabbing. So basic, it's a naked truth, that it's this kind of backstabbing, trying to tell, okay, or like some other people's, Shanti's parent, just give permission and then say, I have these conditions. You have to give me 40 lakh house, you have to give me this, that. So all that happened, but for Nachiketa, his father said, go to hell, and then he gave another statement. Which one we should take? If Paramartha himself in Brahma Sutra, in a place in Brahma Sutra, there are two logical arguments. That in one place, whatever comes first has higher priority, because we hear something first, our mind will stick on to it. That's the reason why it is said that when we start discourses, we have to speak about what is really important. We can find that in Balakrishna Nair's discourses, he will start, he will always start with Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, saying that Brahman is the only truth. That is important. Or maybe like when we started this Gita, we spoke or we concentrated on Mananam and Moksha being the goal. That is because whatever comes first, that stands in our mind. So if we say whatever comes first, then Nachiketa's father told him first, that is the right one. Which means that Nachiketa, Vedanta says that you have to take, you have to do what your father says. You have the duty towards your father. But then there is another argument which says that whatever comes first need not be really the main point or the strong point, because we can negate it the next time. We can negate it. So that means whatever is more stronger or strongly said, that can mean it. So Nachiketa's father, he revoked his statement by saying that, okay, don't go. And he was strongly saying that because the first statement was just out of anger. It was made once, whereas the second statement, that don't go, was made multiple times. Which means we cannot say the first is right. So that means Nachiketa didn't really stick on to what his father said. And we know that Nachiketa didn't go to Yamaloka just for granting, just because his father said. If he just did what his father said, like an obedient son, he will just go to Yamaloka and stay there, settle there. He didn't do that. He went there and wanted to know about what happens after death. He wanted to know about moksha. That means his goal was not just going to Yama, like his father said. It was much more than that. That means he had, we can say, ulterior motives with respect to going to Yamaloka rather than just listening to what his father had said. That means that also rules out that we have to listen to what our parents say. And Mata Pita Guru Devam doesn't come in the Shastra. It doesn't come. And Guru Gita clearly speaks about the Guru or whatever Amma and other Mahatmas say or whatever Krishna says as overriding any other statement, because they are Guru Parataram Nasti. There is nothing greater than the Guru. That itself means quite a lot. Which means the world is such that there will be people like who don't stand for the truth, who wear ochre robe, who are Vedantins or so claim Vedantins, self-proclaimed Vedantins, who go against Mahatma, who go against what the Shastra says. So the direct way to avoid any wrong knowledge or any transmission of wrong knowledge is to just get away from them. As much as possible, get away from them. I don't want to talk, that's it. There is no respect. Respect should be in the mind, it shouldn't be external. We can say respect. Many of you say like you have respect with me, but you don't follow what I say. So what is the point of respect there? There is no respect. So there is no respect. Respect should be in the mind. It shouldn't be inward. It shouldn't be in our actions. It cannot be in actions exactly. Respect should always be in the mind. It cannot be in action. Action, we may go to Amma and look at her. We may not even bow down. But we will have lot of respect for her internally. So once there is a Chinmaya Mission yellow robe person in Trivandrum. His name is Sandeep Chaitanya. He now came out of Chinmaya Mission because he wanted to start a new mission with Gita as the only motive there. So he is an ardent follower of Balakrishnan Nair. So once when Balakrishnan Nair was speaking on Adhyatma Ramayana, a portion of Adhyatma, not Adhyatma Ramayana, Ezhuthachan's Ramayana, Malayalam version of Ramayana. So Balakrishna and I was speaking. So this Sandeep Chaitanya, he came, he was listening to it. He was a spectator. So after the discourse, he went to Balakrishna and I. Balakrishna and I was sitting in a chair. He like shook hands with Balakrishna and I. So I was thinking, and the egoistic mind that I have, so I was thinking, oh, he has no respect. He should have fallen down at Balakrishna Nair's feet. He didn't do that. So there is still ego. Something quite a lot in it. So there is ego. But later, when once we listened to, he did a, Sandeep Chaitanya did a 108 days of Gita Yajnam in Trivandrum. 108 days, the entire 18 chapters of Gita exposition of the Gita. So they are in one place where Prasadam Adigachati, a person who is unaffected by ragadvesham, ragadvesha vyuktaisu vishyan indriyehi charane. A person who is unaffected by ragadvesham. So he said, if we think that such a person without ragadvesham is possible or not, Swami, it's only possible in theory, it's not possible in implementation. Then he said, then you just need to go to Palkulangara, that's the place of Balakrishna Narayan, he said, and then you can see Professor Balakrishna Narayan. You can see in him, you can clearly see. So that's the Gita, whatever Krishna says as Siddha Prajna, the example for Siddha Prajna from a Chinmaya mission person was Professor Balakrishna Narayan. So that means the way he was meeting Balakrishna Narayan, he didn't fall at his feet, but that didn't mean he didn't have respect as I had thought. I was wrong. I was completely wrong, because he had full respect in his mind. It shouldn't be in action. Actions can be deluding. We can fall at the feet of a Mahatma, and then the very next moment we can try to find ways to make the Mahatma fall down. That's what happens in the world. People show respect to you. People below us, subordinates, show respect to their bosses, but given an opportunity, they will just ensure that the boss falls down completely. That's what happens. So respect shouldn't be external, it should be in the mind. It should be there, but we should know that there are people in the world who go against what we call as Vedanta or Sannyasa Dharma itself, deluding people because of various reasons. There is no point finding fault with them. As Amma says, we should never find fault with others. There is no point finding fault with others. There is only, we should choose the right way of saying that, okay, I don't think what you are saying is right, but I don't want to argue over it. I don't follow it. I cannot accept it. That's it. It's irrespective of whether what you say is really right or wrong. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I just know what I think is right. Whatever Amma has said, I know that is right. So I will follow that. I don't want to listen to what you see. I am not attacking you. I am not saying that you are wrong, but I don't want to accept. I don't want to accept what you say. I don't want to listen anything from you. That's enough. That is respect. That is mutual respect when a person says, okay, I agree to disagree with you. I agree that I disagree, but I don't want to go into it. I don't want to argue much. That should be the attitude of a real seeker. If that is not done, then Mata, Pita and all those will come. When all those come, wrong knowledge creeps in. That means there is no mananam, there will be no implementation, which means we will not achieve the goal of moksha. So it is very important to have mananam, constantly doing mananam in the right way, which also means that, it's, as Amrita Swarupananda says in many places, he says we shouldn't fall under the clutches of a wrong guru. Like such people who claim or who say that there is dharma, there is duty towards parents and all. A wise person, a wise seeker would immediately ask, then what about my duty for my previous parents? What about the duties of parents I have had in previous births? What about them? What about my duty to moksha? What about my duty to manushya or manava dharma itself? A wise person would ask that. If such a question comes up, then the other person, the false guru, can only say one thing. He'll say, okay, you will not have any gati if you do this with Vitandavadam. You are doing kutarkam. Get away. We'll be saved. That's what would happen. But we should be wise. After learning the Shastras, after learning the Gita, few chapters of the Gita, we should not stand quiet. Either get away from the person, not listen to anything. There is no disrespect there. Now, don't listen to anything. Don't listen to anything from such a person. Or be bold to attack the person openly. When the attack comes, there is only one way for a person to get out. Either of the parties have to get away. Say, okay, I'm not interested, and get away. And if it is not a real guru, then he will say all sorts of things. He'll say, oh, you have cursed, you have this, you will have the curse. Okay, don't say, I also said that the curse, my curse will be there. It's not my curse. It is the curse of the guru who is considered by you. It's not my curse at all. I'm not in a position to curse. I cannot do anything of that sort. Cannot do at all. But your impression of a guru the creation of a guru in your mind, that will definitely curse you because you are going against the right direction or what that guru believes. It's not what I believe, it's what the Shastras say. It's what your impression of the guru, so I cannot curse anyone. But a false guru will definitely say, okay, I curse you now. He'll say, I curse you, you will not have any gati. Even if you join Vedanta course, it will be of no use. Oh, isn't it the same like you have said? If you don't join Vedanta course, you will fail. Is it the same thing, almost the same thing? It's not same, it's an entire different thing. Living for Vedanta or leaving the world for Vedanta is entirely different from leaving Vedanta for the world. It will take us to different ends of the ocean or of a river, two different shores of the river. One shore is Anandam, the other shore is Dukkham. One shore is Advaitam, the other shore is Dvaitam. One shore is Vedantam, the other shore is what we can call as not Vedantam, but Vidandavadam or Kutarkam. So that will happen. If that shouldn't happen, we should be clear about Mananam. We have to do lot of Mananam, again and again reflect. If we sit for a lecture for hundreds of minutes or hundreds of hours, it won't help at all because we haven't done our part. Our part in it is doing Mananam. And Shravanam has been given more than enough, like we have got more than enough Shravanam from what the Shastras say or what Shankara summarizes what the Shastras say. We have that. That means the only thing that we have to do is Mananam again and again. These discussions will help, but this will not help really because we have to do our part of Mananam, which is very essential. And so as I coming back to the two things that are two advantages or two uses of analyzing a Jivan Mukta, one is to find a right guru. That means we'll get away from these false gurus initially itself. We'll see as to what Krishna says in the next two shloka which we are going to learn as to who is the real master. So we can rule out such people immediately. We can rule out such people. That's one use. That's only the empirical use. The main use for the seeker is not to find a guru, because we already have a guru. We have a guru in Amma, we have a guru in Balakrishna, we have a guru in Shankara. Again, we know how now to interpret what Shankara says. Based on Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Eva Napara. Anything with respect to that is fine. Is what Shankara says, it is what is true, is the real guru. So we already know that. So the first use is gone for us. The second use is trying to see if we have some of those qualities, at least we can work towards having those qualities, which will in turn help in Jagan Mithya, strengthening Jagan Mithya or the conviction that the world is unreal, and thereby lead us to, in a way, to Nididhyasanam or Moksha. So the second use is what really matters. So the Shastras speak quite a lot about a person, but it is spread out. Like it's not about a guru or a Mahatma. It's not said as clearly as Gita says. Qualities of a person are not clearly mentioned. Mundaka Upanishad quickly or simply says as Shrotriyam and Brahmanishta, well versed in the scriptural truth and residing or being established in Brahman. So well versed in the scriptures, we have discussed this quite a lot. Well versed in scriptures doesn't mean just knowing scriptures and quoting from Dharma Shastras and all, but well versed in scriptures in the scriptural truth of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, that is what is important. And that means Brahmanishta. So one is theoretical jnana and the other is implementation. So those both are there in a person, he is a guru. But that again comes to Brahma Satyam, theoretical. Shrotriyam means Brahma Satyam, Brahmanishta means Jagan Mithya and Mananam. Both Shravanam and Mananam, if we are strong, then Nididhyasanam immediately will happen, follow. Which means immediately moksha will happen. Nididhyasanam will lead to aparokshanubhavam. So that means that will happen. But here, that means it comes back to Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, which we cannot really analyze or see where we are. Either in Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, while analyzing Jagan Mithyatvam, it's as simple as whether we know that the world is unreal or not. So most of us are in the second part. So we can't even judge whether we are progressing or not. Therefore, these qualities that Krishna says in Gita help us in that. Help us to analyze as to where we stand with respect to Jivan Mukti. It also, in a way, So those are the two uses. One, to find out a guru. Two, to find out where we stand in the spiritual path. We can also say that third, in a way, like it also makes us desire that state, because that state, as we will learn, that state is a state where a person is always blissful. In simple terms, always blissful, like Amma, blissful at all times. So that means like immortal bliss, as Swamini says, I think so, I don't remember the book name. So bliss, or blissful state, such a state, if we try to learn even, we will have the desire more and more to see as to what that state is, to be in that state. So that's an auxiliary use, we can say. The main use for us now is as to qualities of such a Jivanmukta or a realized master. So in Gita, there are many places where Krishna speaks about such qualities. So three in general, or in short, there are three places where he speaks about the realized master, and each three places he terms them differently. Depending on the occasion, depending on the chapter, he says that. So the first is in the second chapter, where he says, calls him Stita Prajna. Prajna means one who is Buddhi. Sitam means constant, steady. Steady means Brahmanishta. Brahmanishta means a person who is Brahmanishta has to be Shrotriyam. A person who is doing Maranam has to have done Shravanam. Person who knows or who has tasted milk will definitely have heard about milk. So that means he has theoretical knowledge that's inbuilt in it. So even Mahatmas like Amma show that they may not have Shastra Jnanam, they may not have learned many works. Like Balakrishna Nair wouldn't have learned about Samkshepa Sharirikam or Ishta Siddhi and all, but still they know the truth. That is what is more important. So implementation means Brahmanishtan, a person who is Brahmanishta means that Shrotriyam. He knows what the Shastras say. He has theoretical knowledge as well. The other way is possible. We have theoretical knowledge, implementation lacks, that is possible. But Brahmanishta means automatically Shrotriyam also comes. So Stita Prajna, one whose mind is fixed on Brahman. So that is where Krishna in the second chapter speaks about a realized master. And he terms him as Stita Prajna, whose Prajna is always situated in Brahman. And then the second place is in Gita 12th chapter, which we are going to see, where he calls such a person as a Bhakta. A real Bhakta is a Jnani, as Krishna, Tesham Jnani, Eka Bhaktir Vishishyate, so Priyogi Jnani no Tyartham Aham, such a Mama Priya. He is dear to me, I am dear to him, so Jnani. Atmaiva me matam, he is my Atma. He is Atma alone. Atma alone means he is me alone. So, Jnani tu Atmaiva me matam. Jnani tu Atma eva, he is myself. He is my own self. That means he is me alone, is what Krishna says. So, Sachin, that is the greatest Bhakta. So, Krishna calls such people in the 12th chapter, realized masters, as Bhaktas, real Bhaktas, dear Bhaktas. Because he has already said in the 7th chapter as to who is a dear Bhakta, is a Jnani. So here he calls him a Bhakta. It's not a Gauni Bhakta or a Apara Bhakta. It's a Bhakta who is a Jnani, a Bhakta who has merged onto Ishvara. A Bhakta who is always residing in Brahman. Different terms, different ways of putting it. So he calls him Bhakta. In the third place, this is in the 14th chapter, where Krishna calls such a person as Gunatita. Guna Atita, Gunaha. Guna means the three gunas, or that which determine our characteristics, our mental nature and all, sattva, rajas, tamas. And atita means one who is beyond these three gunas. A person who is beyond the three gunas is a guna atita. So all the three explanation or qualities of all these three these terms that Krishna gives are one and the same. In a different way he gives, that's it. So here in this chapter, Bhakta, so this is a very important portion. And there was a time when Amma and her followers, like Amma herself, used to say people to learn the Gita 12th chapter. And at that time, the Swamiji's around Amma, they used to tell that this is a chapter which speaks about Amma. Amma's Varnana, if we have to see Gita 12th chapter. These 13 to 19 shloka is Amma's Varnana. Exposition of Amma, a true Bhakta of Ishvara. Sita Prajna, Bhakta, and gunatita. So here bhakta, so Krishna gives quite a lot of qualities in these qualities or the way they react and all in these 6-7 shlokas. So the first two shlokas are Advesta Sarvabhutanam. Sarvabhutanam Advesta. Advesta, there is no dveshyam, there is no hatred or anger. Sarvabhutanam, to all beings, Sarvabhutanam. So, for the entire creation, he has no hatred. He doesn't hate anything at all. So, why doesn't he hate anything at all? Because he sees Ishvara in everything. He sees his own self in everything, as Amma says. He sees, Amma sees every Amma in everyone, therefore, she cannot get angry. So, similarly, therefore, amidst the duality, or amidst the Namarupam, when a person sees everything as Ishvara, he cannot have any hatred. So the way to check as to whether we are progressing is, one is Sarvabhutanam Advesta. Do we have any Dveshyam towards anyone? So in Dveshyam, if we have any hatred to any person, whether it is to false gurus or whether it is to Dvaitins, whether it is to somebody else, it doesn't matter. Do we have hatred? That means we are still not there. So that is the first quality. And the second is Maitraha Karuna Evacha. And to all those beings, Maitraha and Karuna. Maitraha means he is a friend to everyone. And Karuna, he has compassion. So that means Dveshya, not having Dveshya is one perspective. There should be something positive as well to see. So that means Raga Dvesham, both shouldn't be there. So if Ragam is not to be there with Nama Rupam, Dvesham is also not to be there with Raga Dvesham, to Nama Rupam, sorry, then what should we have? How can we react with things in the world? So reaction should be Maitraha and Karunaha, friendly attitude and compassion. Friendly attitude means everybody is a friend. Whoever comes to us is a friend. Whoever comes to us is a friend. So the attitude of friend means, like we can say, oh, friend means I have to help the person, overly help the person. That is when it becomes ragam. So therefore Krishna says karuna. Ragam means passion, whereas it is karuna, it is compassion. The difference between passion and compassion is that in compassion we are not really affected by the activity. In compassion we have compassion towards everyone. Compassion, we generally know, a mother is compassionate towards her children. She is not attached to children, because for all the children she has the same attachment. Therefore it is called compassion. From the world perspective, that means there is no ragam. So friendliness means trying to help people as much as possible. Whoever comes to us with any problem, trying to help as much. But trying to help can lead us to becoming passionate. Therefore compassion, which means while having a friendly attitude, still focusing on Namarupam or essential being as Brahman, which means not differentiating. So not having Dveshyam and having Maitra and Karuna Bhavam means we know Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, or in other words, we know that there is no Dvaitam. We go beyond Dvaitam, we see Advaitam. That is when we can have all these three. So one is no hatred, friendly attitude to help, what help however or how much ever is possible. So that is important. That is where it becomes karuna. You can overly try to help a person, that is when it becomes passion. We can still say, oh, I have to help my parents. So overly help our parents and say it is maitra, they are my friends, therefore I have to help. That is not. We help them, we have to also help people who are the all need. And karuna is also, we can also say that karuna is when a mother is compassionate to all her children. That means when somebody really wants something, she will help. That means compassion is really helping those who really need help. So Amma says that we should know when we are giving bhiksha, we should know as to what is the bowl where we are doing bhiksha. It means that when we are helping somebody, we should know whom we are helping, whether that person is really worthy of helping, whether that person really needs help. That means there are so many people, if we see as to our friends help our one of our friend, that means we have to know that there are thousands of people in the world who are suffering. So we have to help them as well. So a friendly attitude means, that means that with karuna, karuna should be there, which means that either we don't help anyone, or we help whoever come to us, or we don't help anyone. If we are helping, help the really needed person, that is compassion. So the best thing is help whoever comes to us, whoever comes to us for help, help the person, otherwise just pray and then let it go. Not helping are people whom we like or who are close to us. So that means Advesta, Sarva Bhutana, with respect to the entire world, Advesta, don't hate anyone, have a friendly attitude, help whoever comes to us as much as we can, and be compassionate to everyone. Don't be passionate. Passion means the mind is working, compassion means the heart is working. When the mind works, it works with respect to Nama Rupam. When the heart works, it pierces through the mind, which means it works for Advitiya Satyam, it works for that which is beyond Nama Rupam and not for the Nama Rupam. So these are the three things, first three. And then Krishna speaks about two main things. Nirmamo Nirahankaraha. Nirmamaha and Nirahankaraha. When this Advesta, Sarva Bhutana, Maitra, Karuna, all those means that we see oneness everywhere, which means we see Advitiya Satyam, we pierce through Nama Rupam. In that case, Nirmamaha, automatically Mamata. Mamata means my people, and Nirahankaraha, I. So that means I and mine. Nirmana Moha is the same thing. So Mamata and Ahankaram. So the sense of I and mine will not be there for such a person. So that is the next level. I am so and so. It's as bad to have my people, I have to help them. It's as bad as I. We may not have ego. You can say, oh, I don't have any ego, because I always want to help people around me. I want to help my parents, I have to help my friends. That means in a way it is also as bad. It is as bad as I, because we have mamata. That shouldn't be there. So doesn't a mother have mamata? Mother's mamata is called karuna, not karunyam. It is not mamata, because it is for everyone. That's why for a worldly mother we call it mamata, because it is only for her children. Inside her children, from the perspective of the children, it is for everyone. But beyond her family, it is not for everyone. Therefore, it has to become karuna. So there shouldn't be any I and mine. So there shouldn't be, for the entire world, we shouldn't have advesta, we shouldn't be hate anything. And we should have maitraha karuna and no mamata and ahankaram. And samadukkha sukaha. Samadukkha sukaha. When with this, what this really means, I, mine and all those means that we'll be able to really help people who come to us. We'll be able to be without I and mine only when we are able to go beyond dvandva bhavam, nirdvandva bhavaha, nirdvandvam, dvandva moho, something like that. Krishna says, dvandva vinir muktaha in 15th chapter. Dvandva vinir muktaha, sukha dukkha. So that's what Krishna says there. So that means only when we go beyond dvaitam, can we have all these attitudes. That means if these all attitudes are followed, which means samadukkha sukaha, means such a person is one during sukham and dukkham. He remains unaffected when sukham and dukkham. So sukham and dukkham, unaffected itself means that he should have a lot of patience, because sukham dukkham come continuously, sukham and dukkham come in one form and or the other. Whether we are in we are a sannyasi or not, we are with Amma or not, sukham and dukkham come continuously. If we recollect our trip to Seattle and San Ramon, we will know even when we are in Amma's presence, still we have sukham and dukkham. We have the dvandva bhavam comes. We have like problems, we have sorrows, we have happiness, we have all those. We have ragam dvesham, we have those tensions always is there. So that means sukha dukkham always will be there. The person who is able to remain unaffected, remain like have samatvam, sukha dukkham, that such a person is shami. Shami means shama, means patience. So kshama can also, I may be wrong here, kshama can also be interpreted in other languages as forgiveness, but we can confirm that later. But I think here kshami means having patience. Forgiveness also we can say, but I think here it is patience. We can confirm later. So kshami, a person who has a lot of patience because he is sama dukkha sukaha, that itself means he has to have a lot of patience. And as a result of having all this, santushtas satatam santushtaha, samadukkha sukaha means shami, all those means that satatam means always santushtaha, santosham means contentment, he is always content. So santushtas satatam, yogi samatvam yoga chite, therefore he is a yogi. Yata atma is always fixed on. Yata means like yatnam, one who is doing putting effort to fix. But here it means yata atma means one who is always fixed. So he is a yogi means he is always fixed on to the goal, he is fixed on to Ishvara. And drida nishtayaha, his nishtayam is drida. His conviction is so strong that okay, yata atma, I will be yata atma means it is strong. There is no more to it. So we can know this from Amma's Amma, like all these qualities we can see from Amma's life or analyzing Amma. So drida nishchaya, will come to that. Drida nishchaya means always focused. Tadatma drida nishchaya mai arpita mano buddhi. So such a person, mai arpita mano buddhi. Krishna has already said mai eva mana adatsva. Such a person has offered his mind and buddhi to me. Yaha yo madbhaktaha, such a person madbhaktaha, who is a madbhakta, who is a my devotee, same priyaha, such a person me priyaha, is very dear to me. So these are the qualities that Krishna says. Adveshta maitraha karuna nirmamaha nirahankaraha samadukka sukaha kshami satatam santushtaha yogi yataatma dhrida nishchayaha, such a person is very dear to me. So, if we look at Amma, then we can see all these qualities. So, Adveshta Sarvabhutanam. See, he is Adveshta. He doesn't hate anyone. So, a person, Vandikyunnorum, Anyalalla Amma Kerum Ammakkal. There is a song. Vandikyunnorum, who do Vandalam, Ninnikyunnorum, who do Ninda, who curse Amma. Anyalalla, they are not different, they are not separate. Aruma Makkal, they are dear children to Amma. Maitraha, we can see whoever goes to Amma with whatever problem from wherever, Amma tries to help as much as she can. She gives solutions. We already know that even though we don't have surrender, but Amma gives solution. So Amma is Maitraha and Karuna is always there, because without that Karuna, Amma cannot spend her entire life for her children. So Karuna is there. Nirmamo nirahankaraha, mamata and ahankaram is not at all there. Mindness is never there for Amma, because Amma knows that everything is mine. That means there is no mind there. Mine is when we are limited. So some people are mine, others are not. That's when mamata comes. Here Amma considers everything as hers, everything as Ishvara, which means there cannot be any mamata, which also means there cannot be ahankaram. Amma doesn't claim herself to be realized, herself to be Ishvara. She doesn't make any such claim. She doesn't make any claim of she being a Jivan Mukta, she solving people's problems. She doesn't make any claim at all. That means she is Nirahankaraha, without any hankaram. And Samadukka Sukaha. Amma has had times like when she has faced sorrows, she has faced happiness. So happy moments, we can just when looking or trying to see Amma giving darshan, we can see people coming to Amma, Amma becomes happy. People coming to Amma, Amma becomes sad. During both those times, sukham and dukkham, she is still the same. She remains the same. She has patience in the entire world to listen to whatever their children. Though she knows that all those are useless statements. Like Shanti asking Amma again. After asking Moksha, the very next time ask Amma, Amma, what about my parents? We have been asking that, what should I do about my parents? We are suffering, what should I do? So that means still she has the patience. And santushta satatam, whatever, even when she was doing her sadhana on the beach shore, even when there was nothing with her, nothing in Amma's mission, and when there are millions of people working around Amma, when she has the power in the entire world, even big people come to Amma for darshan, still she is content, always content, ever content. It's not contentment just with Amma's presence. It's not contentment when we listen to Gita. It's contentment always. That is there. Yogi, of course, such a person has to be a yogi. Yathātmā. Whenever we can find out as to why our, how Amma is Yathātmā. Because whatever she is saying, or like whatever she is saying or doing, she is always fixed on Ishvara. That is Yathātmā. Such a person is a Yathātmā. Balakrishna Nair is a Yathātmā because he is always focused on Brahman. A person who either at the paramatika level focuses on Brahman or Vyavaharika level focuses on Ishvara everywhere, such a person alone is a Yathātmā. Not people who give Vedantic discourses or those false gurus, they are not Yathātmās because they still differentiate. Differentiation at the Vyavaharika level also should be avoided as much as possible. Externally fine, but in our mind that shouldn't happen. So that means Amma is a Yathātmā because whatever she is speaking, singing, everything she speaks about Ishvara, Ishvara is only there. Dridha nishchaya, her nishchaya is very dridham. Her conviction is so strong. You may think Amma's conviction, we say one or two things, she will falter. My sister had to ask many times to Amma about joining the mission, still she didn't agree. She was tossing my sister, like my sister was being tossed from Amma to the yellow robe Swamini who was controlling the people there. My sister was tossed between both people. So that means Amma's nishchayam is clear. She knows what she wants. She has a clear conviction. So if you remember in San Raman, when Amma choose the song of, I think Jai Jai Janani. So when Amma choose Jai Jai Janani or Jai Ma Ambe, either of those songs, and Amrita Sarupananda looked at Amma and said, like he was saying, Amma, Amme, he uses Amme in a colloquial way. So Amme, so he was as if saying that Amma, this is high pitch, I cannot sing. So the previous day Amma said, okay, Jai Jai Janani, that's not required because that's not possible. Swamiji's throat is very sore, so he cannot sing. The next day we see the Dhrida Nishchayam, Swamiji says, Amma, Amme. It's as if Swamiji is telling, like, why this song? In a way, that way. Amma said, sing, sing. That's it. So Nishchayam is so strong that within a moment she is able to set it aside. It is her dearest son. Amma doesn't have any dear or near because everybody is the same for Amma. But still, another Swamiji, if we don't sing fine, it is properly, it's fine. But when a sannyasi doesn't do something right, it is the entire sect that is being that is being affected. That's why we read in Awakened Children about Amma speaking about the false Swami. So that's how it will happen. Therefore, Amma knows that, but still her conviction is so strong. This is what I am going to do. There have been cases when Deya Amata spoke quite a lot, or twice or thrice, spoke about when Amma gave darshan in a country which was war struck, I forgot the country name. Some European country where war was going on. Civil war was going on and Amma was about to give darshan. And Swamiji was worried that how will people come to Amma and all. But within the next 2-3 days, things got settled.
Russia.
So things got settled and Amma gave darshan. That means Amma didn't go back on her word. It's not confidence. It's not overconfidence like we have. It is Amma knows. Amma's conviction is so clear. She says, I want it, that's it. San Raman trip, the first day program was cancelled initially, but then it happened. That means Amma's conviction, it was the people of San Raman or Amma's devotees or disciples who tried to get the permission and all, but Amma never went back on her word. Amma.org, Amritapuri.org is maintained by Amma's direct disciples, whereas Amma.org is maintained by devotees in US. So that means Amma's conviction still stood. That means she was fixed on to what she wanted. And she did that. And her conviction or her faith, whatever she thinks, the basic conviction in her is that I should hug people as much as I can. And that is what she is doing. We listen to Shanta Amrita speaking about a program, like they trying out different ways to make Amma rest by saying that, okay, the program will start a little late, we'll have disco, something like that, but still Amma finds out wait, because Dhrida Nishchaya, the conviction is so strong. So that is one of the qualities that is essential for a seeker as well, rather than other Advaishta, Sarvabhutanam and all. This quality is very important. Dhrida Nishchayam, I have the Dhrida Nishchayam means it cannot turn back. Maybe it's like telling, okay, I want to drive to New York. While I'm driving, I get a car accident, another car accident, car breakdown, then traffic. So at any point of time, I can just say, okay, I'm not going. That is not Dhrida Nishchayam. Dhrida Nishchayam means I'm going to go. Whatever happens, whatever stands in my way, I am going to go. That is Dhrida Nishchayam. That will be there in Mahatmas like Amma or real Bhaktas. You can see that in Balakrishna Nara as well. Whatever happens, he will not stray away from Brahman. Whatever happens, he will not praise avatars and all. He will stand for Brahman and Brahman alone. We cannot get anything out of him other than Brahman. With Amma, her conviction for anything is so strong that it cannot be changed. It will happen, it will definitely happen, that cannot be changed at all. So these are ways that, like few of the ways that Krishna says as to how to analyze as to who is a real Bhakta, which means it for us as to whether we have these qualities. Few of these qualities we can list it down somewhere, make a note and daily try to see as to how much I have progressed, how much I have. Do I have Maitraha? Do I have Karuna? Do I have all this? How much Mamata I have? Mamata means my people, means immediately Mamata is there. How much I have? We can try to judge ourselves. We'll continue later. I'm not sure.